Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, he is not here, the young man in white said at the tomb. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Look, this is the place where they laid him. The women were shocked. They were beside themselves. They were going to anoint his body with spices to complete the custom that they didn't have time to do earlier. And when they got there, they were shocked and amazed because he was not there. He is risen just as he said. But I ask you, what difference does it make? I mean, really, is this one event really, does it really matter that much? I mean, maybe it'd make a difference that you come to church on Easter morning, and if the resurrection happened, you wouldn't come to church Easter morning. But in the bigger scheme of things, does it make that much of a difference that the women went there that day and he was not there? Suppose that they went and the rock was still in front of the tomb, and they found someone who could move it for them, and they went and found Jesus' body laying there, and they anointed his body with the spices that they wanted to do, and the body just lay in the tomb for another year, and then the bones were collected in a box, as was the custom. How would things be different if that was what happened? The fascinating thing about that question is that the scriptures themselves answer it for us. What if Christ has not been raised from the dead? 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we of all people are most to be pitied." The Apostle Paul says that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, then everything that we preach is a lie. But more than that, then there is no such thing as faith, and then there is no such thing as life. Then we are still in our sins, and we should be pitied amongst all people because when we die, we would just perish. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then there is no forgiveness. You see, the entire reason that Jesus did what he did was for you. He did it because of your sin. And that is something that we all have to face. It's not something we want to face, the reality that we are sinners. We do it because we're too prideful. We want to say that in our lives we're basically good. We generally love others. You treat other people the way you would want to be treated. But when it really comes down to it, who do you love more? Someone else or yourself? A coworker? Your neighbor? The guy that's driving too slow in front of you when you're running late? If you only had enough food for one person, who would it go to? One of these people or yourself? We probably say, well, that's my food. I have to survive. And that is who you really love. And that's the point. Because at the very core, we are selfish beings. Now, granted, in certain areas of life, we have learned to be less selfish to a small degree. But that itself is kind of the point, that we have to learn away from that. That our natural nature deep down is sin. What we have received from Adam. That when Adam had sinned in the Garden of Eden, he brought death into the world. And now everyone who is born after Adam is born with sin. And this shows itself in various ways. The desire to always have it my way, to do whatever feels good to me with no regard to how my actions might affect others or how they might offend a holy and righteous God. The reason we think that we are number one before anyone else is because of Adam's sin that is given to us at birth. And if you could just stop it, if you could shed this selfishness that's yearning for constant gratification, then Jesus would have never needed to enter this world. It's like when the fire department comes to your house when it's fully engulfed in fire and you're still inside. The firefighters immediately rush into that burning building to go and carry you out. They don't stand outside with a megaphone and say, "It's getting really hot in there, you better come out now." Because the assumption is, if you can get out, you would. And so Jesus doesn't come into a sinful world to just be our example, to show us the way that we ought to live. Because if you could just live the way that you're supposed to, you would have done it. Jesus comes into this sinful world not only to be our example, but also to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The Bible says that we are born dead in our trespasses and sin. This is why Jesus comes to do the saving. Because you can't cure yourself. It took the true God to take on flesh and blood to become a man in the person of Jesus. In the true humanity, he rushed in to save us. That as a man, he would be obedient in all the ways that you are not. Not just as an example to show us how to live, but that Jesus lived the perfect life in your place that you do not. So that when you're a little on the selfish side, Jesus is selfless. Where you seek gratification, Jesus seeks what is right and true. And where you would avoid suffering at all costs, Jesus suffers all, even death on a cross for you, in your place. Your sin means death. Not your death, his death, in your place. That's why Paul says what he says. That if Christ has not been raised, then we are still in our sins, and of all people, we are to be pitied the most. Because if Christ has not been raised, if that is not a historical fact, if that literal event in history 2,000 years ago did not happen, then we are putting all of our hope into a lie. And all we have waiting for us is death. But Paul continues in that passage of 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What we see in the resurrection is that Jesus has freed us from the bondage of sin and death. Death is no longer our enemy. It has been defeated. In Christ, we live forever. Though we do continue to sin, we repent, we confess our sins, and God does not hold our sins against us. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was talking about the work necessary to atone for all of your sins. And now that your sins are covered over, God doesn't look at your sins anymore. Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you. That is to say, that Christ's righteousness has been credited to you. You are covered over with Christ's perfection. God looks at you as if you are holy and perfect because of what Jesus has done in your place. And in faith, when God looks at you, he doesn't even see one single transgression that you've ever committed. That's what it means to be forgiven. All this because Christ has risen. This should be no surprise. No surprise to you, and no surprise to the women at the tomb. That Sunday morning, when the women came to the tomb, they were coming with spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus. But they should have been coming rejoicing, ready to see the empty tomb. How could they know? Because that is what he said. Jesus told them, "The Son of Man will be delivered up to death and will rise again on the third day." Jesus had been telling them this, that he was going to rise from the dead. But those rushing to the tomb that day, were they going to see the resurrected Christ? No one believed him. They all saw him and thought he would be dead. They looked on with their own eyes. They saw Jesus hanging on the cross, lifeless, and no one actually thought anything would change that. But come resurrection morning, the young man in the tomb, probably an angel, says, "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said." God doesn't tell us things that are necessarily easy to believe. When looking at the cross, bloody and gory, it wasn't easy to believe that he'd be walking around just 3 days later. But that is what he said, and what God says is always true. And today, God's word is sometimes no easier to believe either. God's word says that we are righteous before him. And sometimes that's really hard to believe because we know ourselves. Because God says, "You are righteous," and we know the thoughts that we have. We know our lusts. We know the things that we've done, our habits and our addictions and our struggles. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see these things that we've done and we think there's no way that we could be considered righteous. But dear saints, it's just as he said. You are righteous. God's word is not descriptive. It doesn't describe things. It's performative. It does things. So that when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When God spoke to Lazarus, dead in the tomb, "Come forward," he does. When Jesus spoke to the waves in the sea, "Be still," it obeyed. And so when God says to you, "You are righteous," you are. That's why you're baptized. That's why he gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink. So that when God says you are righteous, when you are forgiven by the authority of God, it is as he said. You are righteous. You are forgiven. You are God's holy child. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.